Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live worship services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at goochlanechurch.com, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
If you spend any amount of time looking at social media, you probably notice that nearly every picture that you see is of people smiling, people expressing that they are happy and joyful and that everything that they've got going on in life is wonderful. And if you pay attention to signs and bumper stickers and art on people's walls, you probably see something or have seen something like that. Don't worry, be happy. No matter what's going on, just be happy. Or you might have seen something like that that says choose joy or choose happiness. I can almost guarantee that somewhere in my house there's a sign that looks like that. It's not up on the wall, but it's somewhere in the house. Or you may see quotes from famous people, this one from Ralph Waldo Emerson that says, for every minute you are angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. Or my favorite of these is, happiness is a warm puppy. And that is from Charles Schulz, the famed cartoonist of the Peanuts cartoons. Happiness is all around us. At least that's what people want us to think. But God tells us that the world is more than just happiness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it begins with there is a time, and then when you jump down to verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there's a time for both happiness and dancing, joyful activities, but there's also a time to weep and a time to mourn. Romans 12:15 tells us that we need to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Life is more than just happiness. We know that. Life will enjoy, or life will bring us times of weeping and sorrow. And from what I can tell about this group here, we are very good about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. I've heard stories of, well, we see baby showers and wedding showers for those times of joy, and we hear about cards and words of encouragement being made or being sent to those who are in those times of weeping. And so we're very good at helping others when they are in those times of sadness. But what about us when we are the ones who are sad? What about us when we are the ones who are weeping and mourning? King David did a lot for us. We see here in 2 Samuel chapter 3 that David was sad because of the death of Abner. Abner, if you remember the story, was the general for one of Saul's sons. Abner actually propped up Saul's son to continue the line of Saul after Saul's death at the hand of the Philistines. And Abner was the general, and he maintained a civil war for a while, but then he saw that David was growing in strength day after day, year after year, and so he came to make peace with David. But Abner had an enemy whose name was Joab, who happened to be David's general, and Joab was mad at Abner because Abner killed his brother. And Joab could not let that go. And even though Abner made peace with David, Joab killed him. He murdered him. And when David heard of the murder of Abner, it says in verse 33, the king chanted a lament for Abner. And even though it's not on the screen, when we go back to a couple chapters to 2 Samuel chapter 1, when David hears about the death of Saul and his son Jonathan, in verse 17 it says, then David chanted this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son. King David is a wonderful example for us about how to process those times of weeping and those times of mourning, which is why we're going to look this morning and learn about lament, learn how to lament through a study of the Psalms and by looking at Lamentations. Why do we go through the Psalms? Well, because David did such a wonderful job of recording many different Psalms of many different postures, of many different ideas. One of those, or many of these, are Psalms of lament. And so this morning, I want to look at how do we lament. I want to examine the what, the how, and the why of lament or lamentation. And hopefully by the time that we're done with this study this morning, that we will understand really the how. How do I process those times of mourning and weeping in a biblical way, and why is that so important for us? So to start, what is lament? We can't do something unless we know what it is. So lament defined, it has two different ways of being defined. One is as a verb, and as a verb, it means to, it's the action of, mourning aloud, to express sorrow, mourning, or regret for. Often you're doing that demonstratively, or it is to regret strongly. As a noun, it is a crying out in grief, a dirge, an elegy, or a complaint. And so that's our definition. That is what lament is. Okay? We've got that first part out of the way. But how do we lament? That's the big part of what we want to talk about this morning, is how do we actually lament? To do this, it comes down to four characteristics or four aspects of lament. First, we need to turn. Then we need to complain. Then we need to ask. And finally, we need to trust. So, first, we turn. But turn to where? Turn to whom? For many in the world, they want to turn to the universe. If you've watched any show or film where someone is sad and it's raining, because that's the way it always happens, someone's sad and it's raining, and they go outside into the rain and they cry out to the universe. Is that what we're supposed to do when we lament? No. We turn to God. Psalm 77 helps us with this. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. The psalmist here, I believe the psalmist here is Asaph, tells us very specifically to turn to God. So what does that tell us? It tells us essentially that lament, biblical lament, is a prayer. It is a turning to God and a cry out to God. And what is that? That's prayer. So lament, another way to define it, is lament is prayer. And in prayer, we turn to God. All right, so we turn to God, and then we get to the second aspect. We complain. Now, this is probably, at just at face value, the most challenging part for us. Because when I say we turn to God and we complain, you think, wait a minute, why am I going to complain to God? Does that make any sense? Let's go to the psalmist and see what the psalmist has to say. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 2, begins with a series of questions. How long, O Lord? Will you forge me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Psalm 10 also begins with questions. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 77, one we looked at already. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? We see these psalmists questioning God. We know Psalm 77, from what we talked about earlier, begins by talking to God. We know that the other psalmist, being David, in 13 and 10, we know he's talking to God because he's saying, he's calling out to the Lord. He's calling out to Jehovah. And he's questioning and complaining, saying, how long will you forget me? How long will I be in this time of trouble? Why are you so far away from me? The psalmist here are complaining to the Lord. They're asking questions. And we can do the same. But we need to just not complain. Because if all we do is complain, then we're just complaining, and that's not doing us any good. So as we think about this, and as we think about how the psalmist is approaching God, we see them coming to the Lord humbly and with the proper motives. Psalm 77, again, we looked at the very beginning of that. My voice rises to God and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He's not just seeking the, he's not just coming to the Lord and complaining and saying, why do you reject me forever? He's doing that seeking the Lord. He wants to find the Lord, to find comfort from the Lord. And so, yes, lament does involve complaining. It involves bringing a complaint to God, but it's doing so with the attitude of humble prayer. And that's what makes lament and the complaining through lament different than anything else. But that's not the end. We don't just go to God and complain, because if that's all we did was complain, then it's just a complaint and it's not true lament. So we need to go on and we need to ask. But what do we ask about and what do we ask for? Again, let's go back to the psalmists and see what they ask for through their laments. Psalm 10, verse 12. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Psalm 25, 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness sake. Psalm 28, 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Psalm 51, 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 60, 11 and 12. Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our adversaries. Psalm 83, 16 through 18. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. And Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So as we think about all of these psalms and all of these psalmists asking the Lord for things, what did they ask for? Well, they asked to not forget the afflicted. They asked for deliverance. They asked for forgiveness. They asked for humiliation for their adversaries, which is another challenging one. They asked for a listening ear, and they asked for instruction and guidance. Many different things that these psalmists go to the Lord through their lament and ask him for. And one thing is clear from all of these is that they all asked for big things, they asked for specific things, and they asked for things very boldly. How often do we do the same? How big do we ask God? How boldly are we asking things from God? If we go to him during a time of lament, we should be asking for things that are specific, for things that are big. We should be asking for things boldly. And why can we do that? Because of trust. Because we trust the Lord. None of this matters. Our turning to God, our complaining to God about the things that are wrong in this life, our asking of God don't mean a thing if you don't trust in him. Going back to Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. After asking God those series of questions, the psalmist there says, "But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Psalm 86, verse 15. "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." Let's also think about Lamentations 5, or the book of Lamentations just broadly, is one great lament from the prophet Jeremiah to God because of the things that are going on in Jerusalem and in Judah. And if you turn over to Lamentations chapter 5, you see the end of that great lament. And let me tell you, it's not good. The end of Lamentations is probably the most bleak and dire portion of Scripture that you can think about. It begins by saying, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens. We have become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. We have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us at a price. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There is no rest for us. We have submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin has become as hot as an oven because of the burning heat of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men worked at the grinding mill and youths stumbled under the loads of wood. Elders are gone from the gate, young men from their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our heads. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes are dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, foxes prowl in it. You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore to us, O Lord. Restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us. The end of the great lament is not joy and happiness, but it is sorrow. How long, or why do you forsake us so long? Yet in spite of this, when we go back to the very middle of the great lament, in chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Even though the great lament ends so sad and so mournful, the center of it is hope in God. It's hope that God will restore them. Because God rules forever, and his throne is from generation to generation. And as we think about trusting in God in times of mourning and in times of sorrow, we're probably thinking, okay, how long? How long do I have to wait to see God's trust fulfilled? For Jeremiah, as he wrote the great lament, he would not see an end to it. He would go to Egypt and die there, even though he told the people, trust in the Lord and stay, because the Lord said, stay in the land and he will take care of you. But the people did not trust, and they took him away, and he died in Egypt, and he did not see the fulfillment of God's promises. Yet, we can, if we continue to trust in the Lord. And so as we think about the formula for lament, which is turn to God, complain to God, bring those complaints to him, ask him big and ask him boldly, but through all of it, never forget to trust in him, because none of that complaining and asking means anything if we don't trust in God. Okay, we understand the how, I hope. Why? Why do we need to lament? Why does it matter that we understand how important lament is? Well, first, we need to understand that lament is important, and we need to understand how to lament in order to heal. If we don't understand how to process the emotions that we have that bring us to those points of mourning and weeping, then we cannot heal. And we cannot heal biblically. We cannot heal in a way that God has provided us examples of how to process those emotions and bring us to a point of healing. And also, very importantly, we need to understand why and how to lament so that we can come back to God and worship him again. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Even though the psalmist here is at a point of distress and despair, and he says to himself, why do I go about mourning? He says all of that with an aim to bring himself back to God, because he wants God's truth and light to lead him to God's holy hill, the place of worship, because he wants again to praise God. And so why do we go through that process of lament? So that we can bring ourselves back to God and worship him. Because we trust in God, we want to praise God for how wonderful and awesome he is. And so, yes, there may be a time of mourning. There may be that time of sorrow. But through that and through processing that, we can bring ourselves back and worship God again. Why do we lament? So that we do more than just complaining to the world around us. I'm sure we know people that most of the things out of their mouth are just complaining. Complaining about the weather, complaining about the state of the roads, complaining about the state of the state, complaining about the state of the country, complaining about the state of the world. All we hear is negativity. But if we lament biblically, we do so in a prayerful trust and hope in God. It's not just, this world is awful, everything is bad. It's, I come to God humbly in prayer, trusting in the hope that he has. And one more thing about lament, and one thing we need to remember about it, it's a process. For some, we may just have that one prayerful lament or lamentful prayer, and then we are able to come back to God fully, and we've been able to process. But for others, it may take us a while. It may take us years to process and to get through what we're dealing with. That's okay. That's okay. So long as we continue to trust and put our hope in God. Keep on trusting in God, no matter how long it takes. Pray with me. Great and holy God, our wonderful creator, why are our bodies so weak that cancer ravages so many that we know? Why are there so many young people who suffer from serious ailments? Why are there so many in this life who, because of age or just because of illness, are losing their memory, losing their ability to interact with those around them and to understand who they are and who their family is? Why are our souls weighed down with anxiety and depression? Why are we weak? And why do we have so much suffering? Why do the evil prosper? Why are there so many people out there who are intent on hurting the innocent? Why do so many families break apart? Why are so many hardened in their hearts against the truth of the gospel? Why are there some who doubt their salvation and lose their faith in you? Thus, Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for healing for our physical bodies. We ask that cancer be eradicated and that it is no more. We ask that you heal our hearts. Take away the anxiety and the depression that plagues us. We pray for healing of the minds, and we pray that diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia are no more, and that the memory and the minds of those we love will not vanish. We pray that you soften the hearts of the world. And with that, we pray for boldness to be lights in this dark world, to bring so many to you. And with that, Lord, we ask that you give us the strength to be proclaimers of the word. We ask that you give us the strength to endure no matter what challenges and trials come our way. Because we know you keep your promises, Lord, we come to you. We come to you seeking peace and comfort, strength and support. We know that you have promised us a way to have peace in this world, even though we have trials and troubles. As the apostle told us, that we can be at peace and be content no matter what our circumstances. And because of that, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in your promises. We trust in the hope of being reunited with you and having a relationship with you. And we trust in our fellow Christians. Because you have given us this family here on earth, we thank you, Lord. And we trust in your plan that includes having people who will mourn and weep with us and having people who will rejoice with us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, for the common hope that we have in you. Help us to deal with these times of mourning in a way that is pleasing to you. Through our Savior we pray, amen. As we think about mourning and lament, and being able to turn to God when we have those times of trial and struggle, we can't really turn to him unless we put our faith and trust in him. And you haven't put your faith and trust in God until you've been united with Christ in the waters of baptism. So if that's something you are lacking this morning, take care of it. Take care of that thing that separates you from God so that when you have a time of trial or struggle, you can go to him boldly and go to him with the confidence that he is there for you because you have a relationship with him. But if you have that relationship and you're just struggling and there's something you need us to pray with you for, let that be known as well. Whether it's during the song that we're about to sing, or it's sometime after that, whether this afternoon or even at midnight. Let that be known to any one of us so that you can be right with God and so you can have a relationship with him. But if you would like to take care of something now, we have a song that we're going to sing and you can come forward and let your request be made known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at goochlanechurch.com to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is goochlanechurch.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.